The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Red Sox, what can you say? Greatest team ever.
Stop
already
it.
Out of the game. Do you mean that?
Come on.
Here's the thing. I'm still with the 04 team.
Thank you.
Is a bigger deal than this.
Like, yeah. By a mile. Bigger deal. Yes, no
and,
doubt. But what about
probably a better team as well? You know
okay.
what?
Okay.
Want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. We did it yesterday.
What are you hot on, Dan?
How about the middle of the order? Manny and David in their prime, as opposed to Steve Pierce hitting third and Brock Holt hitting fifth.
I understand that.
Thank you.
So we got that. How about Curt Schilling, Pedro Martinez, Derek Lowe, a 200 game winner, Tim Wakefield's your four guy, Bronson Arroyo, who didn't miss a start for 15 years, is your five guy. That's your rotation. Your closer, Keith Foulke, is better than your closer, who basically lost his job by the end of the World Series.
Wow.
In this situation. This was great. The one for all for one, that whole thing was great. Guys stepping up, the manager first year thing, and so close to the players, and just the way they were team above self, that was really good. They didn't have the personality of the idiots and Johnny Damon.
Not even close.
All that stuff. So, but it was a very, if you're a high school coach, this is the team you can say, it's like the Patriots, this is the way we need to be, guys.
Well, that's what Brad Stevens said.
How you go about
it. Yeah, you can look at the rosters on paper and see which one is more talented. Dan, I actually think the 07 team might have been better than the 04 team.
I think Terry Francona would agree with you because he thought the 08 team was his best team, and they got to the seventh game of the ALCS and did not prevail.
I mean, 2007 is like one of the forgotten teams.
Totally.
And I think that they were a better, more talented team than 04.
Yeah.
But I also think we don't have the luxury of these teams being able to play one another.
Yep.
Right? We sort of have to grade them against what they were playing against and against their peers. I think the 108 is inflated for all the obvious reasons of the competition.
Yes.
But when it came to the real competition, which was the Yankees and Astros, and we said it all year long, and we all knew that they were the legit teams, they kicked their ass.
Right. So,
and I think that deserves a lot of credit.
Both 04 and what we just saw did, because 04 gets underrated. They won their last 8 postseason games, 4 straight against a great Yankee team. The Cardinals won 105, 108 that year. We laughed at them. But the Red Sox swept a team that won between 108 and 105. I mean, we forget how good that Cardinal team was.
I got to admit, I forgot that, and now I'm going to factor that
in.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's so we weren't even impressed by beating the Cardinals because
105 and 57 were the 2004
105.
Cardinals.
That's what the Astros did this year.
Wow.
I mean, it's really high. And
that's impressive from back then, though.
And Pujols was at the height of his powers then. Edmonds was there. I mean, they had guys.
Good points.
I mean, they were stacked. And
yet Jeff Suppan was running around at third base and didn't know where the hell to go.
Just brushed them away.
Was he saying no, 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 or was he saying go, go, go?
Yeah. So anyway, what we just saw was great. And to your point, and again, I doubted they would beat the Yankees. Once they turned it around, the Yankee series, then there was no stopping. They won. After that 16-1 game in New York, which to me was the pivotal night of the season, they were 10-2 the rest of the way against really good teams, and I think they won 6 or 7 straight road games. I have to get that straight in my head, but it was amazing.
Okay, you said the Yankees, and you look at the Yankees. Corey yesterday goes back to that game too. Why is he so stuck on the disrespect for the team and how people had him dead in the water after game two?
I certainly contributed. I said
because that's all you saw from Price. He was a dud again in the playoffs.
I mean, if you remember, game one, they won 5-4. It felt like a loss. It did. It was 5-0, and they roared back to the point where I think that there was another fly ball at the end of that game. I mean, because Sanchez hit one in the ninth, and it was feeling like, here it comes again. Kimbrel's spitting it up again, and they just escaped with a 5-4 win.
The next night, Mass came in that next day and said, can you win a game and felt like you lost the playoff game?
The next night, Price is lifted in the second inning against the Yankees. And Aaron Judge is trolling the Red Sox clubhouse, and they've got to go to New York. It's a best of five. I mean, they may never come back, it feels like. It's like, this is like, and the Yankees won 100 games. They were legit. We didn't know how bad those Yankee starters were going to turn up in those games. And the Sox, to come out and pummel them 16-1 is really impressive. So, and from that point, I mean, the Houston team was really good, and they beat them 4 out of 5, 3 straight in Houston. Mm. And don't forget, David Price, not only did he win his last 3 starts after all the nonsense and all the true facts of his underperformance for 10 years in this event. His last 2, he clinched the pennant against Verlander and the World Series against Kershaw. pretty good.
Excellent. And how he did not win MVP is ridiculous.
I was like sitting there, and Mike Silverman wrote the piece on it because he was a voter.
Yes.
And it was it kind of picked it apart. I explained it to me. I didn't realize it's so few people. And it's like
so you weren't even fully aware of how this all goes down at the World Series.
I mean, they're always
and how long have you covered baseball?
Well, they're always coming around with
is it all fake
paper with prematurely. It's like when your editor says, "What are you going to write?" And it's the seventh inning. It's like, you know, might change. And the MVP, you know, might change. And Pierce did hit another home run. It was kind of a padding on home run, like Mookie's home run at the end of that game. They were important, but I just thought, how could it not be David Price after what he just did? I mean, he started one twice. And he pitched in relief in that ridiculous game. And, I mean, he manned up. Let's face it. He's the MVP of the World
Series. He won game two. He won game five. He pitched in game three. He was warming up during game four twice. I mean, how does that not earn you MVP? And, listen, Steve Pierce was good. He was really good. It was great. Yeah. But what he put into it is not does not equate to what David Price put into that series.
People are going to
– It's just they're not on the same
about that forever. It's like the wild pitch pass ball with the Gedman-Stanley thing. I mean, it's just – the more it goes on, people are going to say, why didn't they just give it to Price? He was the MVP. He's going to be the de facto MVP of the World Series.
Yes. You know what Steve Pierce is doing? I'm very disappointed that it didn't happen for him.
Yeah. And you know what Steve Pierce is doing today? He's doing a signing at Macy's. And I've been hearing the ads running. Come meet Steve Pierce at Macy's. And I think first 35 people get the picture with him. And that guy could walk into Macy's. He's going to have a handler with him. Yeah. He could walk in himself and nobody would have a clue who that
is. No one would have a clue.
David Price can never do that.
Steve Pierce is every man. I mean, that's why he just looks,
he looks like a Bostonian. I mean, looks like a serial killer.
He's the all-time journeyman.
Jim Louth called him a serial killer.
35 years old. They played with every team in the American League East. They got him for a bag of balls. Get the name of that guy they got him for. Sergio somebody or other. I mean.
Valente?
It was just. And he's MVP of the World Series.
Okay, so why do you think he was the MVP? How did that happen?
Did you read the Silverman thing?
I did. I read the entire story. Then, we went over it on the air.
I mean,
what's wrong with these people? How did they not see this?
But it was only like five votes, right? And one vote was split, two writers.
They were able to split it, which means someone else split their vote, too.
Right.
Okay, because it came out even 3-2. So I would like there to be some transparency in this. And you know what I would just prefer? They open it up to a bigger sample.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just give it to all the writers. Let all you guys vote on it.
I agree.
And you can still give your rights holders a vote. You can give Fox Sports a vote.
It was way
you can
too weighted toward these people that don't know.
That aren't tapped in.
No.
They have no idea what the meaning of David Price in this series is.
Yeah, that was bad.
How do you think Verducci went on if he had some say on the Fox broadcast?
How
do you think Rosenthal went?
Guys would pick Price.
Are you sure?
I hope so. They're smart guys.
Isn't he the stick it nerds guy? Like, didn't Price go after him, you know, years ago?
Yeah, he did. I forgot about that.
Yeah, calling him a nerd.
We don't let our personal
That's nonsense. That I know is nonsense. All of you let it get personal. All of it gets personal for all of you.
I never have.
I will not take you out of that group. You are firmly planted in that group of the writers. There's always some sort of personal gripe. I don't know. You know, who are the guys voting? You don't know. It's like, the crew gets it. So does everyone on the broadcast get a say?
No,
does the producer get a say? Who makes these votes?
Should do a deep dive on that investigation. I agree.
You think Price was upset? He looked upset to me.
He should be. Yeah. Well, I do. I think when it was announced, it was a little came over him, right?
Yeah, his face. You could tell. He's like looking at him.
I didn't see it, but
he's like,
gotta be kidding me.
Just clapping. Yeah.
Was he wearing sunglasses like you when he did?
No, I totally felt bad for David Price.
Absolutely.
It's not often that I feel I feel David Price was wronged, but he was wronged on that night.
Yep.
It's absurd that he did not get that.
And you know what? And I loved what he said with the Trump card.
Why don't we get to that?
That was great.
Let's talk about that. What he had to say, David Price, after winning the World Series and his comments.
That was great.
His comments after the game, and not only his comments after the game, but his comments yesterday about opting in for four more years of David Price.
Four more years.
We'll get to both of those things with Dan Shaughnessy coming up next. And don't forget, we've got Patriots-Packers tickets at 11:30.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
No lack of Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
You'd said consistently that you always wanted to opt in, but was there any consideration otherwise, and did the postseason reaffirm that?
No, there wasn't any reconsideration on my part ever. I came here to win, you know, and we did that this year. That was very special, and now I want to do it again.
All All right, David Price holds all the trump cards now. Holds them all. He's got it, Dan. He's in charge. He's got it over everybody. By the way, Patriots-Packers tickets at the end of this segment.
So, yeah, in your face, Dan. He holds it over you now.
I thought that was a great, great moment for him.
I loved it. I don't blame him one bit. I mean, again, you know, listening to or hearing about Jim Murray every day and
feels so good.
And you know what? The one thing I'll say about him during all the nonsense of the last 3 years, like he was always there. I was particularly struck after that game two against the Yanks when it was total humiliation. I mean, we built this up to so much. Here he is again, and he can't finish the second inning. And he gets booed the crap out of him coming off the field. But he came to the room afterwards. The losing pitcher very rarely does that. But everybody wanted to talk to David Price. He knew that. So to avoid the scrum in the clubhouse, he came to the room. He sat there. He heard all the embarrassing questions again. He's kind of flatlined, but he answered them as best he could.
Yep.
He didn't get snippy with anybody. He just took it. He took his beating like a man. So you know what? When you go out and win the clinch games and beat Verlander and Kershaw, you get to say what he said.
Right.
And he screwed up the Eckersley thing, but it's never going to be made right, and he can't stay on it forever. It happened. He was wrong. He wouldn't admit it. Everybody moved on. I mean, you have to. And, you know, all the Fortnite nonsense and all the fun we had with him, you know, it's all legit. He does walk around with a giant screen, you know, like a giant screen.
What are you talking
Fortnite
about?
Thing.
Excuse me?
He travels with a giant screen for Fortnite.
Wait a minute. You know, like a projector screen?
No, like a...
Like a monitor. A television.
Like that thing over there.
Oh, it's called TV,
carries a television
with him.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, not just a laptop or a computer.
It's like a, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it, but others have told me.
So is it part of the gaming system or is it just a standalone?
That way he can, when he's on the plane or whatever, he can, like, set up, you know.
Oh, that's why. Because I'm thinking, okay, wait, well, there are TVs at hotels with ports.
Oh, God.
Did you hear what the team's been saying last 3 days? Guys like Joe Kelly and company.
Yeah, they keep bringing it up.
We you know, we play video games together. We go out to eat together. You know, we win a couple games of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like in your face.
No, it's all true. And Alex Beer's done a nice job bringing that stuff to life, the camaraderie and the team dinners and the meetings and all that sort of thing. So, you know, they're very cloistered and it's good and it worked and they won. So you got it. I give them all of it. Give them all their props on that. Absolutely.
And we were so close, and every guy on that team is like my brother. And it all started with us getting some Fortnite wins, led to a World Series win. Let's go.
It's Joe Kelly.
Jesus.
This is their time. They get to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been making fun of them, so have at it. And Kelly got, I mean, people loved him when he had the fight with the Yanks, but he got mocked a lot, too, and I was certainly part of that because he's always been, he's a mutant. He's so talented. He's so athletic, and yet he's underachieved throughout
Dan,
his career.
Dan, there were times, I mean, he had a great start to the season, but there were times in the middle of the season where I said, if this keeps up, this guy isn't even going to make it onto a postseason roster.
Go look in September. There were days I said he just pitched himself off the playoff roster. No question. And yet,
Jesus,
he was there, and then he pitched well.
I mean, I think well is sort of an understatement.
He pitched the eighth inning. He struck out all three guys. Again, it's interesting. Kimbrel had lost his job, like
Dan,
you said.
That's the best that I believe Joe Kelly. I mean, you can go back and look at all this time in the major leagues. Yeah. I think this is the best he's ever pitched as a professional pitcher. Yeah.
It's always been there, as we know. He likes to show off all of his pitches. He likes the off-speed stuff. He throws 101 if he wants to, and he's not very big.
Yeah, but when he throws 101 and he locates and he's starting off guys with first pitch strikes and he's doing it with a curveball, you're like, this guy is untouchable.
Yeah.
Look at this. He'll throw you something at 85 and then he'll throw you something at 102.
Yeah. That's going to be a factor.
That's when you're truly nasty.
I think that both Barnes and Kelly will have a chance to be the closer next year. I think that's...
Well, funny that you bring that up. Dave Dombrowski is over at Fenway today. It's like a departure day there.
Yes.
At Fenway, so they've got media availability. Dombrowski said that there will be two, at least he said there'll be a number of internal candidates if Kimbrel is to leave.
He's
and
leaving.
The two guys he named, who do you think he would name?
Barnes and Kelly?
Well, Kelly's not technically on the team, right? He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Barnes and Brazier.
Oh,
Brazier?
Yeah.
Are his internal candidates.
Sure. Makes sense.
Would you make Joe Kelly your closer?
No.
I wouldn't either because he's too inconsistent.
Yeah.
There's times when you have issues there.
I never trust him.
All right, but to go back to Price, he opts in yesterday for four more years.
Yep.
Did you think there was any chance that he decided that he could opt out of that and do a different deal here or test the market and see what was out there?
This has always been kind of a media topic and a fantasy or whatever, but it was never going to happen. The man signed a seven-year deal. The Sox knew what they were getting into. The notion that anyone would walk away from $124 million or whatever it is,
$127 million,
it was fantasy. It just wasn't going to happen. You know, he couldn't get it in the market because of his age now. He's 33. And when you sign a guy to a seven-year deal, you're owning up that the first three or four are going to be better and the last three, two or three aren't going to be as good. Maybe this will... He'll defy that. Manny Ramirez is the one guy who ever lived up to an eight-year contract.
The only guy ever.
Yeah, he played well for 7.5 years, then he shot his way out of town. But he produced for 7.5 years
and,
of an eight-year contract.
And at the end of the contract, he wasn't not producing because he couldn't. It was because he had shut it down.
Yeah, that was that. So he went to the Dodgers and hit like 400.
Yeah, he got back on like the pregnancy hormones out in L.A. and like ripped it up again.
So anyway, so you would sign him to seven. You know this is going to happen.
Baby.
And this is why they kind of had to win this year, Beetle, because, I mean, they were built to win now. And they're at the luxury tax threshold. They had the highest payroll in baseball by like $30 million. So this had to happen. And people are going to start leaving. And they have no farm system. And it's going to be a kind of a shell game for the next few years as the bill comes due on Betts, Bogarts, Bradley, all those guys. So they're going to have to make choices. And the first one's going to be to say goodbye to Eovaldi and your closer. And then see what you can do. Because they can still be winning.
You're not considering bringing back Nathan Eovaldi?
I haven't explored this with smarter people than me and baseball writers, you know, guys who know, but the number's going to be too high, I think. I don't see where they have the room. And the price thing is part of it.
I know where they have the room.
The price thing is part of it. Mookie's salary is going to double, you know, I mean, just with the arbitration eligibility and with the tiering system, how it works, those guys are going to get more.
Someone's
going
to go.
Yeah.
Rick Porcello is the guy.
Okay. Trade Rick Porcello. No, I understand that.
He's got 1 year left, $21 million.
Yeah.
You can move on from Porcello. You can move him.
If you're that team, why don't you just sign Nathan Eovaldi and not give up a player?
That's a good point.
I mean, to me, that's the problem.
So I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because committing to a guy for 1 year and 21 is not...
It's not four for 60.
Yeah, it's not four. It's 60.
Yeah.
Right, but Evaldi's younger. And you know, because of this bionic nature, there's a notion that there's a lot of bullets left. Because if you look at his career, it's not very good. I mean, but he made himself a bundle of money in the postseason.
As did Joe Kelly. The two of them did.
Yeah.
Both of them going to get paid now. 617-779-0985. Fred is in Norwood today. Hi, Fred.
What's going on, guys?
Freddie.
It's driving me crazy that people like what Price said. He did what he was like paid and brought in to do. Not exactly, though, because he was supposed to be the ace. They had to go get Sale, so he's the number two pitcher. But he's as far as his entire time here, it's a net loss. I mean, he's underperformed so in the postseason. That's what he was supposed to do. So, sorry, Astros dad.
No, no.
You weren't good for the postseason for a while.
He won. How is it a net loss? He just was MVP of the World Series, and he's 20 games over .500.
He won a World Series. He won a World Series.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What if next season, postseason, he gets lit up for 5 runs? Does he have this trump card? Like, what he should have said was, wow, sorry, I got the monkey off my back. I should have been doing this the whole time. Sorry it took so long. I'm going to continue it. Not like, oh, you had the trump card and played it well. No, you suck. And we told you you sucked.
Fred,
you didn't suck.
That was a good invitation.
But Fred, this is what gets to happen. If that happens next year, you get to call in and you get to rip David Price again.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. That's how
card.
It works.
He's
you
got the
suck.
Card now.
You suck, you get ripped. You get your card back, Fred. Fred, if David Price sucks again, he doesn't have the cards anymore. You do. So you can play that card, play it well.
Yeah.
You can call with that very good impression, Fred. You're always welcome here.
He's got it now.
You call in, you do it. That's how it works. You can't get mad when you give a guy crap for 3 years and then he turns around and has the all-time performance and he wants to throw it back in your face.
You can't call him a choker.
He's got a right to do that.
You could rip him. You could say, okay, he sucked that day, but you can't call him a choker in the postseason anymore. That's the trump card he's talking about.
Yeah,
You could never make fun of me again for that.
Whether
he pitches like crap or not.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ralph, who's in Cranston. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. You know, I was hoping that the place would see what he's done, and he would say, you know, there's a possibility, not $31
million. I'm going to put you on hold, Ralph, because we got a problem. Got a problem hearing you there.
Wasn't so good.
We'll go back to you, though.
Can I go back to my victory lap, though? Remember how I predicted all this?
Yeah, I just don't feel it was, like, in earnest. That's why I don't want to give you credit for it.
Nah, he was pretty confident.
Because I think you were saying it in, like, a troll fashion.
I've always believed in this man's talent.
He'll be an MVP.
I've always believed in his talent. I have.
You say predicted all of this. Did you predict, like, should have been named World Series MVP?
That he did. As soon as the series was in L.A.
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Before Game 5, Dan Chinas said this man is going to pitch well again tonight, and he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Okay, but up until the last game, I mean, if you want real credit for a prediction, do it in July.
Oh, well, I think if you go back to spring
training. He's been doing it for years, though. This is why I don't buy it.
I've been on this guy's bandwagon.
He's been doing it every year. Like, oh, no, this is when he gets great.
Yeah, because I thought he
was just going to keep saying it until it happened.
No, I thought he got overly criticized the first year when he won 17 and led the majors in innings, and everybody thought it was this giant failure.
Dan is an FOD, friend of David. He's had a number of stories with him over the years.
We've had our ups and downs, but I did believe in his talent.
Well, that's nice. You can put that on the resume.
Thanks.
He's your Terry Glenn. Yeah, Nick Cafardo would always talk to Terry.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. Good story, Dan.
Take care of me.
I can't do a good. I don't think. I think that's too strong. He's given you a number.
What about
stories.
You guys?
He's given you a number of interviews.
Making fun of my man Stan Grossfeld. What about him saving Mookie Betts yesterday? Did you see that picture? Swatting away the beer.
Why don't we get to that?
Yeah.
Why don't we get to that the beer that was thrown at Alex Cora yesterday, which I just find to be the most awful moment of that parade. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Tom Brady lead his team against the Green Bay Packers. It's Patriots Packers this Sunday night at Gillette. And if you're caller 10 on the contest line only right now, 617-931-0985, you are going to the game, courtesy of 98.5 The Sports Hub. We've got another pair of tickets to give away at 1:30 today. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics and the Bucks play tonight at the TD Garden. Green going for a fourth straight win. Bucks haven't lost. Giannis Antetokounmpo missed Monday night's game over the win for the Bucks over the Raptors because of a concussion, but he's good to go. Cleared yesterday and expects to play tonight. 8 o'clock tip, which means a 7:30 pregame. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell right here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots getting ready for the Packers. They'll visit Gillette Stadium on Sunday night. Stephen Gostkowski named the AFC Special Teams Player for the month of October. Dave Dombrowski is speaking to the media today. With regard to Chris Sale, he says they expect him to be at spring training 100% without any surgeries. As for Dustin Pedroia, he says they're hopeful he'll be ready to go for spring training, but really don't know at this time. And about the closer, doesn't know. He thinks there are some internal candidates there. Should it not be Craig Kimbrel, Matt Barnes, and Brazzers might be in there for the closing job. Headlines are brought to you by my hair doctors. Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti. 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll get into all that with our guests. Let's go out to Los Angeles right now. I've been told that we have them. We have Evan Drellick and Dan Shaughnessy standing by. There we go, guys. Dan, let's start with you and David Price tonight. What are your expectations?
What do you think about Price tonight?
Are we on TV?
Yes. This is live with Michael Felger right now.
I think he's going to be MVP of the World Series.
Dan Shaughnessy with Evan Drellick in L.A.
TV gold up there.
Are we on the television set? Are we on?
Are we on TV?
Yeah.
Are we?
No, I'm only standing next to a reporter with a camera in front of me.
In my defense, I had no earpiece. Drellick didn't give me any help. Felge's talking to me, and I'm just standing there like
a
doofus.
To your defense, it's kind of like, he goes, hey, what do you think of Price? Like, it wasn't like standing here live outside Dodger Stadium with Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, what do you think of Price?
What do you think about Price tonight?
Are we on TV?
Yes. I don't blame you. Like, are we talking like buddies? Or
yeah, is this just like, you know, like, yeah, right. like you do? Yeah. So it was a weird
Bad
thing.
Bad job, Drolic. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Take that, Hardy. I did call it.
Before the final game.
He called it on this show before he'd even pitched well in Houston.
Yeah, you can roll back the Houston series. Yeah, you must have been off.
After he had sucked in the playoffs, yeah. Dan was still saying he's going to be great.
Nita was making fun of me.
Yeah, and I made fun of him. I said, stop it. You don't actually believe that.
Yeah, it did happen.
So that's when nobody was predicting he would be great. Dan did say it. Even though, again, I don't think it was...
No, it had to happen sooner or later.
That heartfelt prediction.
It just couldn't go on. You know, and it's funny, if you go back, because remember, so the first game against the Yanks, he gets routed. You know, but it only gave up 3 runs, but they could see where this was going, so they got him right out of there in the second inning.
Right.
But then, remember the next one against Houston? He pitched 4 2/3, and Cora took him out, so he wasn't going to get the win. They had a pretty comfortable lead, but it was going the wrong way. And again, the 2018 postseason, you don't stay too long with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets pulled, and everybody knows he's not getting his win now. And now it's the 11th or 12th consecutive start without a win in the postseason. And he said after the game, he said, baby steps, you know. And
That's right. And
he was right.
Yeah.
You know, and it was incremental. So he goes from getting routed against the Yanks, baby steps where they win the game, but he doesn't get the win. And then 3 straight wins, boom, 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 in really important games.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us here on Zolak at Bertrand Parade yesterday. Which was, you know, typical fun championship parade.
It did move quick, though. People said it moved quick.
Yeah, it was on time.
Yeah.
They usually run late.
They didn't go to the plaza and then have all the stuff there. So they just did it at the ballpark, and that was it.
They kind of got that out of the way.
Yep.
Were you there? Did you cover any of this?
I was at the Channel 7 studios just talking to Joe Ammo. We were talking mostly baseball because they had all the reporters out in the trail.
Got it.
Good. Okay. Best way to do it.
There you go. Yeah, the beer throwing incidents that were going on during this parade. So this has never really been a thing before, where cans of beer getting tossed to tossed onto the
that's
duck
happened,
boats.
Though. No, that's happened. Yeah. Now, like, was there somebody on Coors' boat that was saying, "Hey, hit me, you know, give me one"?
Did you watch the video?
I didn't watch the video.
Okay,
the video's bad.
But I mean, I've riding on duck boats. You see tons of fans just chucking beers.
The beer
and
was
shots.
Open. The beer was open. It wasn't a. Wasn't a can of beer.
It was fired overhand.
Okay. I thought it was a full, it was, unopened can
no,
of beer.
No, it was thrown from far back in the crowd. It was an open beer, and it ends up going all over Alex Cora and his daughter on the boat. His back was to the crowd.
That's a 19-year-old kid.
He was not looking at the crowd. His back was to the crowd.
He was mad.
Like, that's not an accident. There are people like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just an accident. A lot of beer is getting thrown. Stop it. Like, maybe he didn't intend to hit Alex Cora, but he was intending to hit that boat. With people on it, like, that's stupid. I'm glad they arrested him, jackass.
Yeah, that's bad. Bad.
That makes everybody look bad.
Yeah,
that makes everybody who's at that parade look better. It gives other people, oh, look at Boston, bunch of idiots.
And I talked to Stan Grossfeld, who was on Mookie's boat,
and he's batting them away.
We were sitting here watching live, and I go to him. I said, Mookie almost just got hit with a beer.
Yep. What are you doing?
And according to Stan, Mookie was like, "This has got to stop." They were not happy. I mean, I think. Mookie's mom was next to him on the thing, and there was just too much coming their way. And Stan said it was like constant, just, you know, nip bottles and beer cans.
Yeah,
and
stop throwing crap at the duck boats. Stop.
Yeah.
You make the whole crowd look bad.
It wasn't good.
Idiots. God, I hate that.
If that's the kind of thing, you could stop having these things. I mean, again,
the players are going to say next time, you know what?
No beer.
It'll be like one of those parades where the star players go, you know what? I'm not going on that. Mookie, nah, I'm good. You guys go do the parade. Let the Brock Holtz of the world go do the parade where Mookie and JD and all the stars say, nah, we're not going to do it. We're out.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with this nonsense.
It was a bad kind of advancement in the whole dynamic of that thing. I don't remember having anything like that in the other ones. I mean, where, you know, one of your stars gets hit and he's mad and should be.
Right. It was like an occasional thing. Like, one person might throw Gronkowski a beer.
Where he's like, leaning over like, oh, get thrown.
Yeah, if you're looking at him, right? And you make eye contact, you underhand. I mean, that's sort of a moment.
Weak toss it to him from the front row.
Yeah.
This guy threw it from 20 yards back.
Yeah.
Overhand towards the boat. Open beer. Not a can of beer that was closed. Right. No, open beer just flying through the crowd, hitting Alex Cora. Hard. You make the whole crowd look bad. You give them reasons not to do this anymore, is what you give them.
Yeah.
You know,
the
rallies have been gone at City Hall Plaza for a while. We randomly got one for the Patriots, right? Wasn't there, didn't they bring it back for one?
The last one. No days off.
Randomly brought it back for one parade.
Yeah.
And that was a nice treat, but they took those away years ago.
And you know what it'll turn into, Dan?
It'll turn into like just what they did at the ballpark.
Right.
Right? Park will be open.
Well, yeah. Like you said, the players aren't going to go, and they're not going to give them all their own separate Pope mobile with the enclosed glass and sit there and, you know, wave to everybody from behind the bulletproof. Yeah.
So that was annoying yesterday.
What's the mayor gonna do? Like, what do you? I mean, you say, hey, you don't drink. Everybody drinks on a parade. It's like a big drinking day. You can police the sidewalks better. You know, you can't have a. You know, everybody's basically when you're on air and you see it, and you see it's 10 people deep. Everybody has a beer in their hand. It's like open container law gone. Like, what do you do now? You got to police parades better. Like, that's a good problem. Good problem to have, Boston, with our championship parades.
Not a good problem, but you're going to have another championship parade
because you're going to have another championship, Beetle. It's a joke. So say we do it again in February. What are you going to do? What's he going to do to address people before they go down?
James Wall!
I have no idea what you're even asking. Can you explain what?
The mayor, like, how are you going to police this differently? People are saying, okay, you're going to do away with the duck boats. We won't do parades anymore. This is going to be the new norm.
Right, which is why I'm glad they got the guy yesterday and arrest him. They're going to probably make an example of him. What they're going to do.
Don't make it one night. Make it five.
Don't do that again. 617-779-0985. Eddie's in Derry. Eddie's not there.
No, Eddie.
How about Steve in Lowell? Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
What's up?
I just want to say thanks to Dan Shaughnessy, who was the kindest and most understanding person when my daughter died. And he gave me the nicest and warmest feeling when he expressed his condolences. And I've always appreciated that, Dan. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about your girl.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just want to put a word in for the 67 Red Sox.
Thank you. Belgi's always trashing him. It's horrible.
Who I think is the most team of, say, all-time Red Sox team. They had a short pitching staff. I'll give you that.
Yeah, Lee Stang. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Steve, they weren't the best among their peers. They didn't win. They're a very important team. Culturally, very important team to baseball in Boston.
It never goes away for us old-timers.
And a great team. Yeah. No one's trying to say they weren't a good team. They're a great team, and they may be one of the most important teams culturally in the sports culture and Red Sox culture of Boston ever. They weren't even the best team in 1967. Yeah. How are we going to make them the best team ever?
He's just saying how important they were.
They were very important, and I'm not doing a Felger saying, oh, the team was nothing, it doesn't matter. But I'm sorry, you don't even get to enter the conversation, 67.
Yep.
You didn't even win. You weren't the best baseball team in 1967.
That's fair. I'm agreeing with you.
Thanks.
It's just a very romantic, sentimental thing for
old people. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Because they had been so bad for so long. They went from black and white to color overnight. That was it. And they've really never been uncompetitive since then. I mean, they've had down years, surprise down years. But they've never been lacking payroll or attendance since 67. That's why it's so important.
It is. Absolutely. And I'll give you all that, Dan. But I will not sit here and tell you it's the greatest Red Sox team of all time.
It's fair.
They weren't even the greatest team of 1967.
Nope.
Sorry. Those are just the facts. 617-779-0985.
Lola Gilbert.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are now honored to welcome the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the Honorable Charlie Baker. Woo! Woo! It never gets old.
Can you believe how much swag is out there?
To go down for out number three,
Chucky Banks. Chuck. Governor Charlie Baker fully enjoying his moment at Fenway Park prior to the parade yesterday.
We totally missed the comment. What swag is he talking about?
Look at all that swag out there.
What, all the Red Sox hats?
I guess.
Is that swag?
That's what I took it
as. I thought swag was like gold chains and rings and everything.
I thought it was just free stuff.
Yeah. Swag bag.
Maybe it was. Maybe they got a lot of free stuff there.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably passed stuff out. You're right.
617-779-0985. We got all kinds of Red Sox calls on the board. Let's go to some of them. Lou is in Quincy on the Red Sox parade. Hi, Lou.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi.
I thought, Charlie Baker was awesome yesterday.
He's fantastic. Would you rather have that or would you rather have a stiffy up there, you know?
Yeah.
He was so much better than Marty Walsh. Walsh or Tom Warner, they were like very buttoned up yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. A little too conservative for my taste.
Yeah. But, you sound really excited.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just got a monotone voice.
That's all right.
I'll spice it up for you.
Yeah, I have one of those, too. Yeah.
But, I'm just calling about the parade, you know? I feel like, first of all, let me just say, I agree. People shouldn't be throwing open containers. That goes without saying. You know? But as far as, the beers and the nips being thrown, if it's excessive, fine. I wasn't there, but I was at the previous three, and, the precedent was set. I mean, you had players egging people on to throw them beers and stuff, like players like Gronk and Edelman. And even yesterday, you had players like Blake Swihart, who's chugging nips. I don't know if the cameras caught that. I saw it on Twitter, And
Twitter.
This is Boston, we're known for drinking kind of, And it's not our fault that tragically, Mookie Betts was born without a personality.
Okay, I don't know what your point of this call is, but it's terrible.
So Betts should drink more on the boat.
It's one thing of a player saying, throw it to me and I'll catch it.
Yeah.
Versus people just chucking them blindly at the duck boat that Mookie Betts is on. Did you see the video?
Mookie never put his hands out like this. He was deflected.
He's not interacting with anybody or asking for any beers to be thrown his way. People are just throwing them now at the duck boat.
It got to the point where the guy behind Mookie's reaching over. It wasn't Grossfeld. Grossfeld was taking the pictures up behind him. It was a Red Sox guy.
Right next to him.
And he had his right hand in over Mookie. And here he is right there, his left one. And he's trying to protect him. Betts doesn't even want it.
No one's asking for it.
No, thank you.
You don't just get to throw things at them.
Yeah.
And because it's a beer, it's okay. We know it for drinking. Idiot.
Players like Blake Swihart, who's chugging nips.
No, that was Jared Carrabas, who you saw on that boat. Jack is in Canton. Hey, Jack.
What's up, Beetle?
Hey.
City of President. What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
It's that Jack in Canton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Danny, what's up?
How you doing, Jack?
Hi, Dan.
Good. And Dan, I agree totally with the Red Sox. I'm 65 years old, and they went from ninth place to first place.
Yeah, Beetle.
And Beetle doesn't remember, God bless him, he's from the City of Presidents.
Well, he's just a
baby. They had that parade down Hancock Street. None of that stuff would have happened yesterday. I was there. They're throwing beers. They're whipping them. Not tossing them. They were whipping them. And the further down the road, my buddy said, it got worse. So, I mean, like you said, Peter, I agree 100%. This is not what we're representative of. And I really felt bad for Alex Cora and his daughter. The woman and children on those duck boats, It was just a player. They'd be different. And Gronk's Gronk. That's normal for him, He wants people to throw beers at him. He'll break them as they throw them at him.
Yeah, they crush him on your head.
He's shot at the Army and the Marines.
All right, Jack. Always good to hear from Jack and Canton. Alan in Florida with, I assume, some real baseball points. What do you got, Alan?
Yeah, well, you know what, Dan, it must be tough. There was nothing negative to write. I just want to...
that was necessary.
Yeah, well, Mookie was going to play second base, Dan. Hello.
I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, well,
can't you just enjoy what happened? Does it have to be...
I am enjoying it.
I like Alan. Alan keeps score. I like that about Alan.
Yeah, way to enjoy, enjoy the moment, Alan.
You have no idea how I'm enjoying this, and I will tell you, this one person,
I can tell how much
only
you enjoy
one
it.
That only. Oh, I am. You have no idea. Just ask Felger and Mavs how I enjoy it. I'm only calling really because I can't wait to talk to you. There's one guy that I respect. Only one guy that I think knows more about baseball than me, and I respect him completely. His name is Peter Gammons.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Not these days.
Still.
Yeah, you baseball guy lost the fastball a little bit.
I understand. But yeah. Still, yeah, okay. You can say whatever you want, but
he's the guy.
Yeah, anyway, you can talk all you want. When this team, with the 108 wins, there were some bad teams in baseball, but what they did, this, you know how many times I heard the word historic about Houston? This team has no weaknesses, including from Dan. This team has no weaknesses. They went in and beat this historic team three in a row.
In Houston.
Then they went in and they took care of the Dodgers. This team is a fabulous, great team. And if you say I'm excited, I'm very excited. I don't want any negativity. This is a great team.
No, you do not.
Yeah, Dan.
No, and it's one of the most historic wins in the history of Boston. Better than anything I can ever remember, including, and I was at the 67. I'm giving away my age.
How about 04?
More so than 04.
Where do you put them among the recent ones?
Better than 04?
No. Nothing is going to ever match 04.
All right,
All right. After 04, this is fabulous. Okay. I'm so excited. I didn't think. I love this team all year, and as I say, I don't talk after, I talk before. Just ask them. And I will tell you one thing. The only team I was worried about, not the Yankees, I was worried about Houston. And when they go in and beat that team three in a row, it's unbelievable. That's all I can say. Unbelievable.
All right, Alan, thanks for the call.
See you, Alan.
Yeah, I picked it to beat Houston. For what it's worth, Alan.
You were angry there.
Well, again, it's the whole, I don't like people that they can't just enjoy the moment. It's got to be, oh, you said this. Like, you know, like there was a lot of that after game three.
Alan's the scorekeeper.
The 18-inning game. Like, we weren't supposed to start worrying. You can't tell me that when they lose game three, that ridiculous 7-hour, 20-minute thing, and then they're down 4-0 in game four, in the seventh inning, it didn't occur to anybody that this might be bad. I mean, was everybody...
No, I think it... No, that... Alan didn't say that, and I don't think anyone else has said that.
He's the kind of guy... Oh, well, he... If you had given him a chance...
Now you're putting words in his mouth, though, Dan.
If you had given him a chance...
I don't think he would have said that. But I think... Listen, it's different when you have hindsight, when you could say, yeah, I did. Right. Dan, I thought they opened the door there. I said, damn, they opened the door for the Dodgers in this series.
I was worried about that.
And then they responded.
They scored 9 unanswered runs, which told you a lot about these guys. That's
they
very
had a response. It's very significant that they had a response.
It's just like what they did when they went to New York and won 16-1. They had a response. So good for them.
They had a response.
That's how,
every
I became
a
believer.
It is the noontime hour. 90 seconds, no commercials with Hardy. We do have more of your calls to get to on everything Red Sox related, including the future. I want to touch on that Nathan Eovaldi point that Dan had. You know, should the Red Sox make a real effort to keep Nathan Eovaldi, or should they let him walk?